Canberra, the authorities advance a controversial plan for a new neighborhood with 9,000 settler units in East Al-Quds. Iran says it will enter upcoming Vienna talks for the removal of anti-Tehran sanctions with full determination to reach a good agreement. And China says a security partnership between Australia, Britain, and the U.S. poses a regional and global threat. Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to World News. Our top story in the latest move in keeping up with its expansionist drive, Israel has given the green light for yet another settlement building plan in the occupied West Bank. We discussed this matter in length with our guests earlier in our news review program. Here it is. Israel has given initial approval now to a plan to build thousands of settler units in the occupied West Bank. The plan will see the construction of 3,000 units on land near the Palestinian city of Ramallah. It also envisages the construction of up to 6,000 additional units in the area. The Palestinian Foreign Ministry says the plan aims to Judaize and annex the entire city of Al-Quds. The ministry has called on the U.S. and other powers to intervene and stop what it describes as Israel's colonial project. All Israeli settlements on occupied Palestinian land are illegal under international law. Joining us now for the program is Paul Lurudi from the Free Palestine Movement, joining us from Berkeley, California, and Mr. Ken Stone from the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War from Hamilton, Ontario. Gentlemen, Ontario, Canada there, I'd like to welcome you both to the program. I guess we'll start there in Berkeley, California, with you, Mr. Paul Lurudi. Paul, expansion of these settlements, the construction of these settlements, is this anything short of an act of war against Palestinians?
Israel, and prior to the existence of Israel, the Zionist project has been at war with the people of Palestine continuously for more than 100 years. The purpose of the war is to expel the existing population, take the land, and turn it into what is now called Israeli land. And it doesn't even end at the borders of Palestine. It goes beyond those borders. But this is another stage in that war, as they see it. This is a battle in that war for the land of Jerusalem and neighboring areas. They're basically encroaching on Ramallah because the airport is essentially, it's right next to the border of the city of Ramallah. So they're expanding, basically.
Thank you, Paul. And Mr. Kent Stone, I'd like to welcome you to the program. And the reason, Ken, I mentioned an act of war is because you see entities go to war over boundaries, parameters, borders, natural reserves or whatnot, resources, pardon. So when they're taking their natural resources, they're taking their land, they're building their own settlements there, that's basically you're doing everything that takes place throughout or after a post-war era. Israel has been doing that for, like what just Paul said, over 100 years now.
Yes, and it's part of the Israeli colonial project, which does not just affect Palestine, but it also affects all the neighboring countries as well. The Israelis have tried to colonize not only the Gaza Strip unsuccessfully, they've tried to colonize southern Lebanon unsuccessfully, and thanks to the major sacrifices of the Hezbollah movement over 18 years, the Israelis were thrown out of south Lebanon. The Israelis are currently in the process of colonizing the Golan Heights, which it is illegally occupying and has occupied since 1967. The Israelis are not just creating acts of war against the Palestinian people, but against all their neighbors as well. And it's part of the Israeli colonial project, which is an extension of the European colonial project of the past 500 years in South America, Asia, Africa, and the Middle East. So what we need to understand is that Israel gets away with these things because it's acting on the behalf of the greatest empire in the world, namely the U.S. And so it has the backing, military, financial, diplomatic backing of the U.S. to do all of these things. Israel is its power projection point in the Middle East, and it acts on behalf of the American government. For example, it attacks Syria like a obedient pit bull anytime that the U.S. gives it the green light. And it has attacked Syria close to 1,000 times using jet planes. And all these things are acts of war, and they shouldn't be condemned by the United Nations, and collective action should have been taken a long time ago against the State of Israel. But unfortunately, it's because the U.S. Regards Israel as its strongest ally in the Middle East and as its projection point, that these horrific violations of international law get to continue.
Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us on the program. Mr. Paul Lurie there from the Free Palestine Movement joining us from Berkeley, California, and Mr. Ken Stone from the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War joining us from Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. That's a wrap for the segment of your News Review program. Thank you for tuning in, and goodbye for now. The UK's decision to outlaw Palestinian resistance movement Hamas continues to draw condemnations by Palestinian factions. In a conference in the blockaded Gaza Strip, Palestinian factions voiced support for the resistance fronts. Ashraf Shannon has your latest.
A big conference was held in the Gaza Strip titled Resistance is a Legitimate Right to Condemn the UK's Plan to Ban Hamas Movement. Hundreds of people attended the conference, which was organized by Palestinian resistance factions. On Friday, the UK's Home Secretary, Priti Patel, laid before the British Parliament an order to outlaw the Hamas resistance movement in its entirety. Patel made the order while giving a keynote speech at the Heritage Foundation in Washington, D.C. The proscription makes it a criminal offense in the United Kingdom to be a member of or invite support for Hamas, with those found guilty facing up to 14 years in prison.
The British decision to include Hamas on its terror list is biased and violates the rights of Palestinian people. With this decision, the UK has entrenched itself with the enemies of the Palestinian people. This decision has no value to Palestinians and will continue the resistance until driving out the occupiers from the land of Palestine.
The close relationship between the United Kingdom and the Israeli regime has been one of the most salient features in British foreign policy for decades.
Palestinian resistance factions are holding this national conference to assert their refusal to these British policies. The British Home Secretary is violating the international law by listing Hamas movement as a terror group. This biased British policy gives the Zionist enemy the green light to commit more war crimes against the Palestinian people.
All Palestinian factions have expressed shock and dismay and accused the UK of continuing with its aggression against the Palestinian people. Palestinians accuse the UK of committing a historic sin against them in the infamous Balfour Declaration and the British mandate that handed Palestine to the Israeli occupation.
It is our right to resist the Zionist occupation of Palestine. The UK's decision is a dangerous infringement on the right of the Palestinian people to resist the occupation and confront the aggression that our people have been subjected to for decades. Neither Britain nor anyone else can stop all forms of Palestinian resistance.
People in the blockaded coastal territory have always accused the United Kingdom of aiding and abetting the Israeli regime in its crimes against the Palestinian people.
Palestinians, like other oppressed peoples, have the right to resist occupation. Experts say that any attempt to accuse Palestinian resistance groups of terrorism is a violation of international law. Ashraf Shannon, Gaza.
Iran says upcoming talks in Vienna between Tehran and the remaining signatories to the 2015 nuclear deal could quickly lead to an agreement if there is determination. In a virtual meeting with the Chinese counterpart, Iran's foreign minister cited the failure of Britain, France, and Germany to honor their commitments under the nuclear accord. Hossein Amir Abdullahian, however, said Iran will enter the negotiations with full determination. He added, Tehran has reached an agreement in principle with the International Atomic Energy Agency regarding remaining technical issues. The top Chinese diplomat, for his part, described as positive the upcoming talks and Iran's cooperation with the IAEA. Wang Yi said Iran's stance on the nuclear deal is quite fair. The International Atomic Energy Agency chief says his recent negotiations with Iranian officials has proven inconclusive. Rafael Mariano Grossi says he will not, however, give up on efforts to reach an understanding which would allow the agency to access its cameras at a workshop just outside the Iranian capital, Tehran, in a city called Karaj. Iran says the site is currently under investigation following a terrorist attack blamed on Israel. Homolezgi reports.
The International Atomic Energy Agency's Board of Governors convenes a virtual meeting a day after IAEA Director General Rafael Mariano Grossi's trip to Tehran. Addressing the board, Grossi said the extensive negotiations with high-ranking Iranian officials to address outstanding issues had proven inconclusive, but that he would not give up on efforts to come to an understanding.
The talks were constructive. The talks were correct. The talks were professional. So that is one thing, but we could not reach an agreement.
Grossi said the sides must reach an agreement that would allow the agency to access surveillance equipment at Iran's Karaj workshop, warning the IAEA is close to the point where it would not be able to guarantee the continuity of knowledge. Iran says it's conducting a judicial and security investigation at the site following a terrorist attack blamed on Israel and cannot legally allow the agency access while the investigation is underway. Tehran has asked the IAEA to assist in the investigation as the attack destroyed one of the agency's cameras. In a separate report to the board, Grossi also mentioned questions that still need to be clarified about the presence of uranium particles at three locations not declared to the agency. Iran has previously responded by asking the IAEA not to magnify non-urgent issues related to the country's past activities, saying some of the questions are based on unsubstantiated claims and images provided by the country's enemies.
Iranian officials say despite differences of opinion with the agency, efforts will continue to bring the outstanding issues to a final resolution. Iran has also urged other IAEA member states to refrain from adopting any hasty or politically motivated position. Homolezgi, Vienna.
China has criticized a recently inked security partnership between Australia, the U.S. and the United Kingdom, saying it poses both regional and global threat.
The nuclear submarine cooperation is not merely a matter between a small number of countries. It does not harm the interests of one party alone. This cooperation may cause negative consequences and pose threats to the entire region and the world.
Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesman also urged Canberra, London, and Washington to abandon their Cold War zero-sum mentality and work towards safeguarding regional peace and stability. He said the three countries should also fulfill their international nuclear non-proliferation obligations. The Trilateral Security Pact, known as AUKUS, has sparked regional worries since it allows Australia to acquire nuclear-powered submarines with technology and assistance from both the U.S. and the U.K. New pact prompted Australia to cancel a mega submarine deal with France, a move which enraged Paris. It's also riled China, the major rising power in the Indo-Pacific. The U.S. Plans to hold a virtual meeting on democracy next month, but its approach toward the inclusion and exclusion of participants has drawn fierce criticism from Russia and China. Here's more.
The United States has always touted itself as a leading democracy in the world. In line with such a narrative, the U.S. is scheduled to hold a so-called summit on democracy next month. But the names of some of the participants and absentees cast doubt on the motive behind such an event. The inclusion of Taiwan, and not China, poses not only a challenge to Washington, but exposes its real intention.
The U.S. action to push forward the group politics and provoke allied confrontations under the cover of democracy is a reproduction of the Cold War mentality, which is widely questioned and opposed by the wise persons in the international community.
Russia, which has also been excluded from the summit, said the meeting is aimed at creating divisions among countries and privatizing the term democracy.
They wish to privatize the very word democracy. In their opinion, democracy is only what corresponds to Washington's understanding of democracy. Obviously, this cannot be so and must not be so. And in fact, it is not.
Another challenge the U.S. faces is its decision to include Israel in the list of over 100 invitees to the virtual gathering. It has put a big question mark to the democratic nature of the event, given the Israeli regime's atrocities and crimes against Palestinians in the occupied West Bank and the besieged Gaza Strip on a daily basis. The administration of President Joe Biden claims the summit seeks to help stop democratic backsliding and erosion of rights and freedoms worldwide. Nonetheless, earlier this week, the Stockholm-based International Institute for Democracy and Electoral Assistance said it is the first time that the U.S. has been added to its list titled Backsliding Democracies. The international think tank also pointed to a, quote, decline in the quality of freedom of association and assembly in the U.S. during the summer 2020 protests after the police killing of George Floyd. Floyd's death once again turned the spotlight on racial bias toward African Americans and other minority groups in the U.S. The support for the Saudi-led war on Yemen and huge arms sales to the kingdom also put a question mark on U.S. claims to be a leading human rights advocate. The U.S. military adventurism has also exposed its real face. Invasions of Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, and some other countries under different pretexts, including fighting terrorism and bringing democracy, have only resulted in the loss of lives of hundreds of thousands of innocent civilians. Sanctions are yet another tool the United States has used for decades against others, including Iran and Venezuela. But the economic warfare has brought suffering to the people in these countries, as they are unable to access the basic humanitarian needs such as food and medicines, leading to the death of many innocent people. Given the humanitarian impacts of U.S. policies and its long-standing support for undemocratic regimes, it remains to be seen how Washington wants to protect democracy in the format of its planned summit.
That's it for your latest here, everyone. Thanks for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
Limelight. Americans are taking notice of high prices with growing alarm, and their concerns appear to be negatively affecting President Biden's approval rating, which had already been falling in recent months. We're prepared for you an article written by Joanne Grieg under the heading, U.S. Democrats Worry Inflation Could Imperil Agenda and Congressional Majorities. As recently as this summer, Joe Biden seemed to be taking a keep calm and carry on approach when it came to concerns about rising inflation, the U.S. president said in July. As our economy has come roaring back with some price increases, adding, our experts believe that the data shows that most of the price increases we've seen were expected and expected to be temporary. But now, with inflation hitting a 30-year high last month, President Biden's tone has become noticeably less upbeat. Biden said in Baltimore, Maryland recently, everything from a gallon of gas to a loaf of bread costs more. He added, we still face challenges and we have to tackle them. We have to tackle them head on. Americans are taking notice of high prices with growing alarm, and their concerns appear to be negatively affecting President Biden's approval rating, which had already been falling in recent months. As the U.S. experiences stricter shocks at the gas pump and in grocery stores, Democrats are worried that inflation could imperil their legislative agenda and their majorities in Congress as crucial midterm elections loom next year. While the president and fellow Democrats have previously sought to downplay rising inflation, it has become an unavoidable issue as prices continue to climb. The Labor Department has reported that prices increased by 6.2% over the past 12 months, marking the most rapid uptick since 1990. Gasoline prices have increased by 49.6% over the past year, while food prices have risen by 5.3%. As prices rise, more working Americans are noticing their bills have become more burdensome, according to an opinion poll conducted by the progressive firm Navigator Research this month. 54% of the American public now say the cost of groceries and gas is a major crisis, marking a 17 percentage point increase since September. Republicans have blamed the price increases on President Biden's economic policies, arguing that rising inflation underscores the need to oust Democratic lawmakers in the midterm elections next year. Emma Vogan, a spokesperson for the Republican National Committee, said, "As Biden and Democrats continue to push for trillions more in reckless spending and higher taxes, skyrocketing prices and a broken supply chain under Biden are crushing American families, workers, and small businesses. Americans will soundly reject Biden's failed economic agenda at the ballot box in 2022. There are some early signs that Republicans' message is striking a chord with voters as the party looks to take back control of Congress in 2022. An Associated Press VoteCast survey showed that 35% of voters in Virginia named the economy and jobs as the most important issue facing the state, making it the most common response. Those voters were more likely to support the Republican gubernatorial candidate Glenn Youngkin, who defeated Democrat Terry McAuliffe by 2 percentage points in the election held earlier this month. And it's not just Republicans who are sounding the alarm about price hikes. Senator Joe Manchin, one of the key holdouts in Democrats' negotiations over their $1.75 trillion spending package, has said he is hearing more from constituents who are concerned about their gas and grocery bills. Senator Manchin said in response to the Labor Department's latest report, "By all accounts, the threat posed by record inflation to American people is not transitory and is instead getting worse." He added, "From the grocery store to the gas pump, Americans know that inflation tax is real, and D.C. can no longer ignore the economic pain Americans are feeling every day." Senator Joe Manchin has previously expressed concern that Democrats' spending package, known as the Build Back Better Act, could negatively contribute to inflation. In a September opinion editorial for the Wall Street Journal, Senator Manchin warned against approving more government spending, saying an overheating economy has imposed a costly inflation tax on every middle and working class American. The Biden administration has sought to mitigate inflation-related concerns about the bill, which passed the House on Friday, 19th of November. The president has repeatedly touted a letter from 17 Nobel laureates in economics, which argued the spending package would ease long-term inflationary pressures. But the bill's critics say the legislation would not address the inflation happening now and may even cause prices to rise further, urging members of Congress not to approve another large spending package. Curtis Dubey, a senior economist at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, A pro-business lobbying group that opposes the spending package said, "We're not worried about the long term. We have inflation in the here and now, and this policy will make it worse in the foreseeable future." Curtis Dubey added, "The first rule of being in a hole is to stop digging. This would keep digging, so they need to not pass it." Jason Furman, who served as the chair of the White House Council on Economic Advisers under Barack Obama, rejected that argument. Jason Furman claimed, "Build Back Better will have a negligible impact on inflation over the medium term," adding, "In gross terms, the total spending is one-tenth as much per year as what we just did this year with the coronavirus relief package. Moreover, that spending is paid for." For progressives, conservatives' warnings about inflation seem a convenient excuse to quash a bill that they already opposed. Natalia Salgado, the director of the Federal Affairs for the Progressive Working Families Party, claimed the legislation could actually help average Americans deal with rising inflation by lowering their health care and child care costs. For example, the Build Back Better Act would establish universal pre-kindergarten for all 3- and 4-year-old children. It would also reduce Affordable Care Act premiums and lower drug prices by allowing Medicare to negotiate with pharmaceutical companies. Salgado said, "If we really want to have a discussion about inflation, let's talk about the many things that this bill is going to help minimize the cost of. Folks coming out of this pandemic were already hurting economically. It is economically imperative to pass the bill, to pass the Build Back Better legislation." Democrats in Congress have echoed that message, urging those who are worried about inflation to support the bill. Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, the chair of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, said, "House Democrats' infrastructure deal and Build Back Better Act tackle inflation head-on through their historic investments," adding, "Rather than working to solve economic problems, Republicans have voted overwhelmingly to block these bills, then reduce prices for the American people and focused instead on their own extremist agenda. But many of the provisions of the Build Back Better bill will not go into effect immediately. The Medicare drug price negotiations will not begin until 2025, and the universal pre-kindergarten program will be built up over the next few years. In the short term, it may be difficult for President Biden to address rising prices. Even if the U.S. Federal Reserve moves quickly to stifle inflation, it will take months for Americans to feel the effect of the fiscal policy change. And when it comes to gas prices specifically, Biden has little sway over the global oil market, although he has called on the Federal Trade Commission to investigate mounting evidence of anti-consumer behavior by oil and gas companies. Jason Furman said, "Politically, people are very sensitive to inflation in gasoline prices and food, because that's just a visible item they see. I've been in government when gas prices are going up, and it's terrible. Everyone hates you." Furman said, on the plus side for Democrats, the frequent fluctuations in gas and food prices mean those costs could decrease over the next year, even if overall inflation continues to rise. That possibility may be Democrats' best hope for maintaining control of Congress after the 2022 midterm elections. However, if prices do not improve over the coming year, the president's party may need to brace itself for an ugly election night next November.
Food for thought.
Hello, everyone. Let us reflect on an aphorism worth pondering upon from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, the vicegerent of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. he who gallops with loose rein collides with death.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, being under the shadow of Allah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's topic, we will talk about being under the shadow of Allah Almighty. When we talk about being under the shadow of Allah Almighty, it has two meanings basically. It can be in two ways. Now, the first one can be when we look at our daily life, when we look at the hope, depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having a hope on Him, and obviously the needs that we have on daily basis. When we look at that, and if we feel that we are under the shadow of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously we depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we know that He will give us all the sustenance that we need, and we are very much relaxed in this way. If I can just give an example to make the things clear, it can be in a way that, you know, we can see our kids who go to the school. The kids, they do really believe that they are under the shadow of their parents. Their parents are always with them. They're helping them. And whenever it's the it's the time. Whenever it's the time of the school to start, we see that these kids, they really believe that before we go to school, our parents will buy the bags, the notebooks, maybe books, pencils, colors, and geometry, anything which they need for the school. They really believe and they know that their parents will provide. So this is the first meaning of believing, being under the shadow of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the parents, the way we know our parents are always there, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there and He always helps us. Therefore, we are not worried about our daily life, our daily sustenance. It is the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We just work hard the way the students, they study, the kids, they study, and then they know that their parents will provide everything. Similarly, we work hard, we go to work, we are doing our part, and it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is bringing all the sustenance for us. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of being under the shadow of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We said that like the kids, they believe in their parents. Similarly, we need to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He provides everything. And we are under His shadow, under His guardianship. So there is another meaning of being under the guardianship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is that we really believe in Him. And we know that in the path of perfection or success, He is always with us. We are under His guardianship. And He will take us to the peak of perfection. That's what it means. So we know that in the Islamic lifestyle, because this lifestyle is to take us towards the perfection. So in this path of perfection, if we know that we are under the shadow of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is our guardian, He is looking after us. Therefore, the steps that we will take, He will obviously give a speed to that, and He will increase our reward, and He will help us to get to the perfection soon. And there are many examples, there are many people who reached to the perfection very soon, and it wasn't a matter of time, actually. So when we talk about the perfection, when we talk about the success, when we talk about the plans that we have in our life, if we really believe that we are under the shadow of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He is our true guardian and He is helping us, then obviously it is very easy to achieve those goals. And if unfortunately we forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then obviously we get involved in a puzzle which we cannot, or maybe involved in a maze which we cannot get out of it, inshallah. We need to be very much careful. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
November is the best time of the year to see polar bears moving around Canadian shores. During this month, the carnivores gather in large numbers and wait for the waters to freeze before they begin their seal hunt. These bears are playing and wrestling in the Canadian city of Churchill, dubbed the polar bear capital of the world. The area is located within a natural habitat of a large population of polar bears. Sometimes the city's residents even share their streets with these animals. Currently, there are nearly 25,000 polar bears in the wild, and Canada is home to more than 17,000 of them. However, wildlife organizations say these animals are facing the threat of extinction by the end of the century due to global warming. Robots in a war-ravaged city. Androids serve clients in a restaurant in Mosul, an Iraqi city that still bears the scars of the years-long presence of terrorist groups. This fully digital eatery offers a futuristic experience to its customers. From interactive tables to glowing constellations, everything seems like a journey to the future. But the robot waiters are the stars of the show, and a major reason the restaurant attracts a large number of visitors every night.
The idea started during the COVID lockdown. As you know, people spent most of their time on social media during that period, since commuting was not allowed. So we tried to look at different ideas from around the world, and thank God we were able to execute this idea and complete this project.
The owner of the eatery says he has imported the robots, but other technologies used there are the work of a group of young engineers from the University of Mosul. The venue has already become very popular, and many visitors call it their favorite place in the city. Qatar displays a dazzling drone show as it unveils the countdown clock for the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Doha. The clock, in the shape of an hourglass, is located at Doha's iconic Corniche fishing spot. The distinctive design enables the structure to be seen from any angle and stand out from the spectacular city skyline behind it. The event reveals to fans worldwide that just 1 year to go to the big kickoff, famous athletes including David Beckham and Samuel Eto'o were in attendance at the ceremony. They may not realize it, but they are extremely lucky. Two pandas have been adopted by superstars. Chinese Olympic champion Zhang Jiechi and Paris Saint-Germain footballer Kylian Mbappe have become godparents to a pair of panda cubs. The athletes have both expressed satisfaction with their new role, with Mbappe calling his godparenthood a big moment. The cute cubs are only 3 months old and can barely stand on their own feet. They are called Yuan Dudu and Huan Lili. Space lovers have been treated to an epic lunar eclipse that dazzled the night skies of the Northern Hemisphere. The event is also known as the Blood Moon because of the red haze seen around the moon during the eclipse. The 3.5-hour phenomenon gave stargazers the chance to witness the longest partial eclipse in 580 years. Although NASA calls this celestial event a partial eclipse, around 97% of the moon was cast into a red hue by the Earth's shadow. A total eclipse could also be seen in Russia's far eastern regions. The next longest partial eclipse will take place in around 648 years.
An 11-month-old baby has become an internet sensation after a video of her snowboarding went viral in China. Wang Yuji is a daredevil infant snowboarder whose adorable face sticks out underneath all the protective snow and sports gear. Her parents decided to learn skiing during the winter, but they also wanted to include their baby on the fun of snow sports. While snowboarding might be a bit too early for a toddler who can barely stand or walk, Yuji was not scared at all. and even enjoyed it. China, which is hosting the Winter Olympics in a couple of months, is encouraging citizens to try ice and snow sports.
Every year, the roads across this tiny island in northwestern Australia turn scarlet just as millions of crabs leave their homes in the depths of the forest and start marching together all the way to the ocean where they can mate and spawn. The spectacular group voyage on Christmas Island happens after the first rainfall in October or November. And in order to give these red creatures the leeway, locals close off multiple roads across the island. They've even built a special bridge for the crabs so that they can cross the road unharmed. The mesmerizing migration is now a tourist attraction, drawing nature lovers from around the globe.
Paleontologists in Brazil have discovered remains that could belong to a species of dinosaur as yet unknown. The fossils were found at a site in northeastern Brazil. A team of scientists is trying to put together the bones and complete the huge dinosaur's skeleton. They think it lived during the Cretaceous period, which began around 145 million years ago and ended with extinction of all dinosaurs roughly 66 million years ago.
A new study shows that moderate consumption of tea and coffee may be better for your health than previously thought. The study conducted by a Chinese medical university says tea and coffee can help keep stroke and dementia at bay. And if you're wondering what is meant by moderate consumption, it's defined as something between 2 and 5 cups of tea and coffee, either alone or combined in one day. The study followed more than 360,000 people aged 50 to 74 for over a decade. Some scientists have praised the study as robust. Others, however, say the participants were all selected from the UK Biobank, which means they're healthier than the general population.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Pomegranate has a special place in Iranian culture. There is a trace of the fruit everywhere from poetry to cooking. Iranians even hold a pomegranate festival in the fall. This year the event is held in one of the main parks in the capital, Tehran. The festival features different varieties of pomegranates that are grown across Iran. The visitors can also find pomegranate products, including juices, concentrates, and dressings. The event includes cultural parades, music concerts, and traditional live performances. Iranians say they always welcome the pomegranate season, as it's one of the old symbols in the country's literature and art. The Christmas season always brings happiness and joy to people around the world. Many Parisians these days are taking a respite from their daily routines and hitting famous departmental stores now light up with present boxes. Cheerful families could be spotted at Christmas-decorated galleries, Lafayette and Printemps department stores. Automated figures and colorful window displays are the center of attractions for them and their children. It's a season when people buy Christmas gifts for their loved ones and stores make big profits this time around. Many Parisians say they want to take advantage of this period as the government is debating whether or not to impose a COVID-related lockdown.
Thank you.
In Venezuela, a large number of musicians are striving for one common goal, and that's setting the Guinness record as the world's largest orchestra. Over 12,000 musicians, mostly children and adolescents, have played together to make that happen. Hundreds of violins, violas, and double basses playing in unison at this setting in Caracas. The musicians are all connected to the country's network of youth orchestras. For them to set a record, over 8,000 instruments had to play at the same time during a 5-minute period of a classical piece. Right now, a Russian orchestra that played the country's national anthem is holding the record. Once done, the crowd of musicians erupted in cheers, lifting their instruments and waving Venezuelan flags. Guinness will announce its decision in the next 10 days. Tourists and residents in Los Angeles have been mesmerized by a dazzling new event the U.S. city is hosting, with holiday-themed and a full of colorful lights. Visitors can enjoy a mile-long walkway covered on all sides with brightly lit installations. Artists from around the world have taken part in the exhibition. The centerpiece display is a cathedral tunnel lit with thousands of bulbs. Another amazing attraction is the orbs, lit up with thousands of torches. The event has been a huge hit with the LA public.
Oh my gosh, it's so nice.
And it gets to be out in the open, and it's like a perfect night to do it, so it's great.
It's definitely the best. Like, we had to do, like, in a car to go see lights, and then we got to, like, now, like, go around and actually walk and get to see everything up close, which is super nice.
Yeah.
Definitely after the, what, year and a half that we've had.
Yeah.
So.
And it's really nice to see everything up close, because it's like, you see in a photo, but then it's more real, so.
Yeah.
The event opened to the public on the 12th of November and will run for 5 nights. Preparations for the event, however, started a month ago. The organizers say millions of bulbs and 17 miles of cables are used for the 18 art installations.
From a gray and gloomy look to a cheery and colorful appearance. That's the story of how a neighborhood in Peru's capital, Lima, is being transformed to become a tourist attraction. A group of artists in Lima are bringing color and joy to this hilly neighborhood by painting the walls of houses. Creating an optical illusion of a giant mural, the project is visible from different spots across the city. The designers are hoping what they did can improve the lives of residents in a neighborhood that was considered to be unsafe before.
What we are doing here is communal work with all the neighbors, and we are doing it because it's important to change the environment through the use of colors. This hill was considered an unsafe and dangerous area of the city, so we decided to change that social stigma through art, which, for me as a muralist, is the best tool to achieve it.
The project was started 5 months ago, and workers are now putting the final touches to their work of art. The mural covers over 300,000 square meters. It's the largest in South America.
The birth of a baby sloth at an uncharacteristically hasty speed has surprised London zookeepers. A tiny two-toed sloth named Terry was born to a mother, Marilyn, at the weekend. The zookeepers say there was no sign at all that Marilyn was going into labor when they checked her in the morning. However, less than an hour, they spotted something like a tiny arm tucked into her tummy. Marilyn had quietly delivered the baby with no fuss at all while her keepers were chopping up sweet potatoes for her breakfast. The mother and baby are said to be doing well, but the zookeepers still don't know the sex of the baby.
modern technology has changed our lives in countless ways, with robots now preparing to lend a hand in operation rooms. Surgical robots are on display at the 4th China International Import Expo. One of the machines, dubbed Mesa X, gives assistance in spinal surgery. Employing the robot can lessen bleeding by 50% compared to open surgeries. Another one assists doctors to perform interventional surgeries.
Guide valves in the vessels can be controlled even less than 1 millimeter. Yeah. This is not cannot be achieved by the human hands. With the great, I think, market impact from this showcase, we successfully performed a first case PCI in Hainan Boao on March 13th.
The producers say surgical robots will soon operate in more hospitals around China. Therefore, training centers have been established to help surgeons learn how to operate the new generation of surgical robots.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
Today, the U.S. is the main sponsor of the Zionist genocide in Palestine. It is, in fact, Iran's efforts to resist that genocide that have put it in the U.S. crosshairs. We're prepared for you an article written by Dr. Kevin Barrett, an American author, journalist, and radio host. The piece is titled U.S. Threatens Iran, All Options is Code for War Crimes. U.S. War Secretary Lloyd Austin recently issued yet another all-options threat to Iran. If Iran doesn't do what the U.S. wants, Austin said, then we will look at all options necessary to keep the United States secure. Taken literally, Lloyd Austin's threat is nonsense. Iran is thousands of miles away from threatening U.S. security. Iran doesn't send fleets and warships to threaten the U.S. Atlantic and Pacific coast. It doesn't send nuclear